'Tis the season for catalogs. For instance, the Neiman Marcus 2014 Christmas book is out. The Treasury Department also has a new catalog, but it's not for Christmas gifts. It's for federal shared services. Maybe you can buy some for your own agency. In fact, Treasury is opening the door for industry to participate in this government-wide effort. In his biweekly feature, Inside the Reporter's Notebook, Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller details Treasury's plans. He joins me now to discuss the next big step in government as it marches toward shared services and financial management. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what is in the catalog from Treasury Department?
Well, I'm surprised you went with Neiman Marcus and not Montgomery Ward. I thought everybody knew the Montgomery Ward catalog. They've only been extinct now for, what, 12, 15, 30 years?
I was going to say, is there still Montgomery Ward?
I don't think there is. But this shared services catalog really is all about bringing what the shared service providers, specifically around financial management, currently offer, putting them in a place that it's easily found, and putting prices around it so you understand what the terms and conditions are, what you're paying for, all the specifics that you need to make a decision. And that's why I think they're calling it a catalog. You may not be able to flip pages like you could in Neiman Marcus or Montgomery Ward or whatever catalog you prefer, but the point is you can find it in one place. And in fact, Beth Angerman, the director of Treasury's Office of Financial Innovation and Transformation, said last week that it's opening the kimono just a little bit more, and it's a step to being more transparent, and then that's where industry can come in, because they can see the prices that agencies currently are paying and say, hey, we think we can do this a little cheaper, we can be more innovative, we can bring some efficiencies, and that's why this is probably the first time they're kind of opening the door for more industry support, more industry input. Because previously, I think what Treasury and OMB were doing was saying to industry, guys, you're going to have to, you've already shown you can't do this very well. I think it's time for the government to take it on, and you guys can play just the support roles.
So industry is providing specifically what to Treasury? Just how to do a catalog properly?
Well, industry is not providing that. It's industry is going to provide for the shared service providers. So remember, there's four of them. There's the Agriculture Department, there's Treasury, there's Transportation, and there's Interior. And I'm sorry, there's four, but I...
HHS.
Yes, HHS was the other one.
PCS.gov, right.
So there's four of them, and what the catalog will do is open the door for industry to say, oh, okay, Interior, for instance, is doing this service for this much money. We think we can come in and do it less expensive or more efficiently or offer innovations to it, and then that's how they can play a bigger role. The catalog itself is being done, I think, just internally by Treasury and maybe some contractors, but the big opportunity is what the shared service providers are going to put in the catalog.
Now, about a year ago, the Office of Management and Budget launched a list. They called it Uncle Sam's List. How is this different from that effort?
Well, Uncle Sam's List is looking across the entire government, and this one's only looking at financial management and shared services in that realm. Uncle Sam's List was anything. You know, if you put together a widget to do, you know, XYZ, that would be in there. Now, if XYZ had nothing to do with it was an acquisition widget versus a financial widget, that's what would be under Uncle Sam's List. And the other thing is Uncle Sam's List was just a list in itself, and maybe who the contact person was and which agency ran the service versus this one's going to be much more detailed and much more specific.
And do we know, by the way, how much government uptake there was of Uncle Sam's List?
You know, that's a good question. It depends. I think what you hear a lot of times was it was a great place to go find information. Now, what you did with that information is not as well known, but in fact, I'm hopeful to have an interview in the coming week with the folks at OMB, and I think that's one of the questions we're going to have to ask them is what's the latest with Uncle Sam's List?
Maybe they'll make Uncle Sam available to you, and he can tell you what they're being done with that list. And so getting back to Treasury, Jason, what's the status of financial management shared services now that there is a catalog? Are agencies, I mean, to some extent, they've always done it.
Correct. So what we've had over the last decade is this push around the lines of business. If you remember that came from the Bush administration. The Obama administration picked this up slowly, and over the last about 18 months or so, they've really pushed it out. They've released two separate guidances over the last couple months, one focusing on financial management shared services marketplace in terms of how the implementation of it would work and the long-term vision. The second focuses on really the federal shared service provider and the customer agency's relationship and really looking around operation and maintenance issues and lifecycle issues. So these two guidances are out. This catalog, when it comes out in early 2015, will be a third piece to the puzzle. What's happening otherwise is at least two or three major agencies, HUD and parts of the Homeland Security Department, and potentially others, are starting to make that migration to a shared service provider. Now, Tom, this is not going to happen in a week or a month or even a year. I mean, this can happen, and this is going to take a long time because there's so many different issues. And, for instance, at this National Academy of Public Administration event last week that I attended, one thing that came up time and again was, yes, it's a data migration issue. Yes, it's a people issue, meaning you got to have the right people, the right skills in place. But in the end, it's all about leadership. And I thought that was a really great comment made by David Mader from the Office of Management and Budget. He's the controller over there. And it was seconded by not only Beth Angerman at Treasury, but the chief financial officers at DHS and at HUD, who are in the middle of their migrations. And they said, you know, you got to get your data migration right. You got to have the right people to do it. But then it's really about, you know, pushing it forward, getting people to understand the benefits, getting people to understand that this is a major culture change and it's happening for a reason. And I'll give you one quick example. HUD is moving from a legacy system to a new system. And the new system is going to offer them so much more data analytics than they've ever had before. So much look into that data to say, wow, we understand more about our programs, or we understand more about where our money is going, what we're getting from it, so we can now make better decisions. And in the end, while it's great to be able to close your books, agencies were, most for the most part, except for DOD, were able to do that without on their legacy systems. But it's all the other pieces that you get from a new system that they'll benefit from the most.
You know, I'm wondering if financial management is the best term for what it is they're offering. It's really financial IT systems management, because financial management would imply that the CFO is no longer the CFO of his own agency. And that's not the case at all. It's really enabling the financial management.
Correct. I think the CFO and the budget staff will still look at the numbers, process the numbers. No one else is going to do that for them. But all that back end work, all the IT work that you mentioned, but also some of the, you know, the ins and the outs, the interfaces, are all going to be done by somebody else. And you know, kind of very similar to our company or any company that uses a payroll provider. We can go online and see, okay, did my check get, you know, direct deposit? How much vacation balance do I have? All that's being done in the background. And all I care about is the end result, which is put in by our finance staff versus, you know, the shared services company putting in all our data.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, and also in your Inside the Reporter's Notebook, there is activity at VA toward a new patient scheduling system, something they've needed for a few decades. What's going on there?
Right, by the end of this week, so by Friday, November 21st, a new RFP should be on the street for, if you will, part two of the scheduling system. So if you remember earlier this summer, VA got into a little bit of hot water, or should we say a lot of hot water, because they were unable to their system was basically broken for how they scheduled
veterans. I think they were in a vat of boiling oil, actually.
That's maybe a better one than a little bit of hot water, huh? Their scheduling system was broken in terms of how they could schedule patients, and then there's a whole lot of the data behind it was no good. So what they've done is initially they released an RFP that they awarded to Hewlett-Packard over the summer, I think in August time frame, to give HP is helping them with their current system. Can they just do some things around the edges to make it better for today? Well, this one on Friday, the one that's supposed to come out by Friday, is the whole kit and caboodle. And basically what VA wants is a new commercial-based system that's already being used, that already has proven that it works, that can interface with its Vista IT health IT system, and then also do the, so that's the two things, a commercial system that can interface with its Vista system that can make scheduling much better. And it's actually a two-step process that VA is undertaking, and I think this is fascinating. The first thing vendors will do is submit basically paper documents, tell us how you're going to do it. VA will review them using schedulers, so people who do this work every single day. And then they'll say to a certain number of people, they'll have a bake-off, a down-select, and those that make the down-select will then prove it with a real system, again, used by the VA schedulers, the people who are going to use the system day in and day out. And in the end, those will be the people that make the decision of what gets bought.
Although a new scheduling system won't necessarily reduce the waiting times, it'll make things more accurate, but it's really the capacity within VA at some of the centers that's also behind the scheduling long delays, correct?
I don't think anyone thinks that the new scheduling system is going to solve their problems, without a doubt. But it has been a hole in the VA IT system for quite a while. It's been a system that has not been efficient, and they've failed multiple times on trying to get a scheduling system up and running and a successful one. So I think this is just a broader piece to the puzzle, but it is a big one, because if you can't keep track of who has appointments and when and how long they're waiting and which doctor they should see, or it's all being done very, you know, manually, so it takes a lot of time and it's very inefficient, I think that plays into the bigger problem that VA does face.
Is the sense for this new system that it would also produce reports that management could better monitor what's going on, as well as help the people actually doing the scheduling?
I think you'd have to assume that that's part of their goal, is that they can understand how long people are waiting for, who's waiting, what types of doctors are, for instance, if it's a specialist that you have 6 or 9 or 12 month wait for versus an internist that maybe you have a week or 2 week wait for. I think all that data can come from this new system, and I think that's what they're hoping for, is a better understand what is happening within the broader context of the scheduling and appointments.
And what's their timeline? Has this been speeded up? Is this something that predated Bob McDonald, or has it been launched since the change in command there and it's on a fast track?
Well, it definitely predated Bob McDonald, and I would guess it's on a little bit of a fast track, although they want to do it right. So the RFP obviously comes out on Friday, or at least no later than Friday, as VA said it. And then they'll do kind of the bake-off after 30 days, read the evaluation papers, and that's when they'll do the down select and say, which are the best companies, show us what you got. So I think you should see something awarded in mid 2015, and then implementation would probably start in late 2015. So I think they're not going to get it done right away, but they want to get it done soonest, and because they realize that the impact would be important right away.
Have they selected a pilot location for the first implementation?
Not that I've heard about yet. I mean, I know that, for instance, on the initial contract to fix the current scheduling system, that's supposed to go, if you will, get the first test run in December and then expand it into early January and February. But on the new contract, they haven't announced any kind of implementation plan yet.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, our executive editor. Thanks for that report.
Always a pleasure.